Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine, and I'm loving the new intro, Steve Hawk. Good work. Very nice. I'm joined in the studio here today by a merry band of characters. Of course, we have Joe Haley. Joe, how are you today?
I'm terrific, Andy. Back from vacation. Back from... for a few weeks, Dave. Thanks a lot for noticing. You sit right outside my office right there. We see each other every day.
I am, on the other hand, just back from vacation.
Right.
Joe is a vacation veteran.
It's a vacation end
ago.
Of the table. Yes. I'm going next.
We also have Dave Vagnoni, who's ready to go on vacation sometime soon. Right, Dave?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
You're also getting married sometime
yes. Ooh,
soon.
Marriage, cruise. I will come back, though, I promise.
Okay, well, we look forward to that for sure. And we have Dan Walsh. Dan, how are you this morning?
Not taking any vacations today or tomorrow, but
not,
okay.
Not today or tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. We're glad to have you. And Joan Chaykin, Managing Editor, ASI, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I was away for a few days, too, taking my daughter back up to college.
So everybody's got vacation on their minds. Right,
right,
Joe?
Exactly, Andy.
Long gone for you.
Long gone for it's a distant memory.
All right. Well, on today's show, we're getting ready to take your calls about ways to get clients to pay their bills. Having some trouble getting clients to pay on time or pay at all, give us a ring at 215-953-4979 or feel free to send us an email at radio@asicentral.com. But before we do that, Joe, give us a rundown of what we're going to hear today.
Sure thing, Andy. First of all, we're going to hear some sound effects from Steve Hawk, who's manning the board.
Wow,
and
sound effects.
If you call in, you'll be listening
baby.
To the nice voice of Facebook Vinny Driscoll. So they're also in studio with us. So we would be remiss if we didn't introduce them.
You're right. They are here.
All right. Okay, so we're taking your calls on how to get clients to pay. Give us a call, 215-953-4979. If we put you on the air, you will score a $25 Visa gift cards. Now, hotels are booking more meetings and conventions this year, and Joan
good
has
news.
A report on that. That is good news. Upselling, how do you dig deeper into your customer base? Dave's going to let us know about that. What do you do when bed bugs bite brand reputation? And the bed bug story is a national story. It's all over the place.
You cannot get away from the bed bug story.
You can't. You can't. It's creepy. It makes me itch, but there could be some important lessons to be learned here by anyone who's marketing.
I was watching the news on vacation last week in a hotel room bed. I was concerned that I would be swimming in bed bugs, but alas, I wasn't.
Very good. Well, Dan has that report. We're also going to look at some of the top small business owners' marketing concerns. I'll ask you what you think they are, and we'll try to fix those concerns for them. We have some other stories we want to cover as well, but first we need to start with the industry news in 60 seconds with Dave.
Thanks very much, Joe. Good morning again, everyone. As we first brought to you late last night, in a Counselor breaking news alert, supplier Molinar has issued a voluntary recall of about 12,000 electroluminescent nightlights. The MI line recall was issued because the nightlights could contain faulty materials that could become hot to the touch and melt. So far, no injuries have been reported. Of course, we'll have more details later in Counselor Promogram. In other news, the Federal Trade Commission is getting set to release updated guidelines to stop companies from exaggerating eco-friendly claims about their products. The tighter regulations will likely limit the use of words like recycling and biodegradable and could lead to major changes in how companies label items. Next up, top 40 supplier Broder Brothers has announced it will now provide the full lines of apparel brands Bella and Canvas beginning in 2011. The supplier will offer the complete activewear labels through its Broder, Alpha Shirt, and NES clothing divisions. Earlier this year, Broder reached a deal to provide the full line of Anvil apparel as well. And finally today, be sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show, where Joe features a creative red and door-opening self-promotional item that's likely to turn heads. And there you have it, the industry news for Tuesday, August 24th, 2010.
Joe's pretty much always turning heads.
Yeah. Why not?
Now, give us a little rundown of what that product is that's going to turn heads.
It's called the Foot in the Door.
The foot in the door.
Foot in the door. It's a red stiletto shoe, a woman's shoe, and it's used to keep a door open, prop a door open. So there's some great creative opportunity there for promotions, distributors, clients who want to reach prospects. Just
very
trying
nice.
To get a foot in the door. I'm sure it would be a memorable product so that when they go back to make an face-to-face visit, they'll say, hey, you're the person that sent that. So
very nice.
I
well,
tried to
good,
keep it a secret, Joe.
Good little tease
for Andy wanted me to
Joe
tell
show.
Everyone.
Well,
we got some
know,
other great
to
products on there as well.
Entice people a little right. bit more yeah. to watch the Joe mm-hmm. Show and Promogram today, so make sure to tune into that. And, of course, later on in the radio show today, we'll be continuing our ASI radio contest.
That's right. I forgot to announce that, Andy.
So we're giving away prizes like an HP mini netbook, a flip camcorder, a Canon digital camera, and a Roomba vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
And we'll be giving away the word of the week later on today. So make sure you stay tuned for that and write it down as on September 14th. Is that the right? September 14th will be announcing, we'll be getting call-ins, and people can tell us what the words were for each week of the last 4 weeks, and they'll win prizes.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, on the line, we have people looking to find out ways that they can get their clients to pay bills. On line one, we have Caroline. Caroline, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Now, what's your question for the host?
I have a client, I have a client that recently began to lag in their payments. They had always paid me in 30 days. But recently, that's getting extended to 60, and on some invoices, even 90 days. What can I do to improve this situation?
I think that, a lot of companies are having a difficult time paying bills out there. So you might want to work with them and try to get some payments in increments, get a quarter of the bill and then another quarter of the bill. Work with them rather than losing them as a client. Just, find a way where they're able to make payments. And then maybe in the future, ask for 50% up front. But those are some ideas.
Also, I would make sure you have a policy where you're following up with clients, not just when an invoice is due, but even during the invoice period. So if there's a net 30-day policy that you have, then, after 15 days, after 2 weeks, you want to touch that client. You want to make sure that you're reaching out to the client and, not necessarily looking for payment at that point, but making sure you stay on their radar. And then certainly after that, if it gets to the point where, you're at 31 days, 32, 33, you have to make it a policy that you're reaching out to them and saying, frankly, that payment was due. It shouldn't be a difficult thing that you're asking for. They should know, and then it should be part of their process that they're paying you more close to the due date.
And Caroline, remember this, verbal agreements in the end are no good. You have to wind up getting something in writing because these companies probably owe money to more than just you. And you want to make sure when they are able to pay, they're paying you first instead of paying you third or fifth or tenth.
Sure.
So get something in writing.
Very good.
Andy, at what point do you bring in a collection agency? How long do you let the payment go until you need to bring in the professionals?
It's a good question, but I think you have to be careful. If it's a client that you're working with for a long period of time, then that's something you probably want to avoid. If you've reached a point where this client maybe isn't buying anything from you anymore and they're 120 days, 6 months late with payment, then they're probably not paying you. And that's where you need to, say, all right, we're going the collections route, or even small claims court. If it's under, I think it's about $1,500 in most states, you could do a quick small claims claim and you could get things done pretty quickly that way.
So you have to take a lot of things into consideration, just not the fact that they're, in
a... Yeah, it certainly depends on the client.
And we've written about people who have actually gone to a client and sat in the office and waited until someone would come out and give them a check.
Yeah, sometimes showing up is key, showing up in person. Well, Caroline, hopefully that gives you some ideas, and good luck with your clients.
Okay, thanks.
All right, on line two, we have Winston calling in today with a question about client payment. Winston, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
We're doing great.
So my question is, I've been trying to get my clients to pay upfront this year, and it has been a problem with my newer clients, but some of my older clients have been resistant. So what can I do to convince them?
I would try to phase something in with those clients. Maybe it's an even 10% down type of thing where, you say on order 10% is due. I think newer clients may be more ready to do the typical type of 50% upfront, which is great and certainly helps your cash flow. But, with those clients that are balking, maybe you want to try to phase something in, like Joe was saying earlier about, phasing payments. Maybe you want to phase their upfront payment a little bit. So initially they're doing 10% upfront. Maybe you can get 20% after that.
And Winston, if you don't do this already, allow customers to pay up front with credit cards. You get paid, and it kind of softens the blow of where am I going to get this money from if you're the client. And credit card terminals are pretty easy to get if you don't have one already.
Yeah, and Think of all the other industries that require an upfront payment. If you want to make a reservation for, you know, a vacation home or something else, you got to put a down payment down to be able to secure that. We just reserved a place for next year for vacation, and it cost me $35. It's a little stipend right. up front, but at least it holds it for us. When you order things at certain stores that they have to order for you, you got to put some money down in order to make that, you know, transaction happen. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a common business practice, mm-hmm. and it's not too out there to ask for that.
Yeah, Winston, you know, I mean, I think part of the battle is just asking. And, you know, sometimes clients will understand, like Joe was saying, you know, it's almost like an everyday thing. But we've found in talking to distributors on this topic that they're often sort of afraid to ask. And so sometimes it's just asking and then even pushing back to their balking. Like you said, people were, you know, your older clients are starting to balk at it. You know, maybe you just need to push back a little bit on them too and say that, you know, you need it to hold the order and to fund the order up front. So maybe you can do that.
Okay, I'll keep on it. Well, thanks for the help.
All right, Winston, we'll hang on the line for your Visa gift card. Okay. On line one, we have Glenn Colton calling in. Glenn, how are you today?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing great. What's your question for the hosts here in the studio?
It was more of a suggestion.
A comment. We'll take that, too.
Okay. My experience has been that we all hesitate to contact clients and lean on them for payment of a past due bill because, like you said, we're a little bit afraid, and you don't want to step on toes or anger somebody. After all, you want them to love you and keep doing business with you.
Right.
So I used to use a rubber stamp for this. Now I just write it on an email, and it says, please pay me so I can pay them so they can pay her so she can pay you. And then I attach a little photograph of myself clutching a baseball bat. I'm not kidding. I would send you the picture, but you're on the radio, so what the heck.
You can send it to us at radio@asicentral.com.
All right.
So how has that baseball bat worked out so far?
I've actually had people say, okay, I'm paying. Don't break my knees, you know.
Yeah, I like the element of fear.
They sense the humor, and they understand, hey, we're all in this together. Clearly they intend to pay. If they weren't going to pay me, they'd probably hire an attorney to say, you know, stop threatening us.
And I think it's an important message, though, Glenn, in the sense that, like you said, distributors can be afraid to just ask for payments and make sure that they're getting paid on time. But if you add a little bit of humor and a little bit of personality to it, then maybe that gets a little bit more successful.
Yes, and I have, for those who know me, I have an abundance of humor and personality.
Yes.
A little bit.
We know that. All right, Glenn, well, thanks for calling in, and stay on the line so Vinny can get your information for your gift card.
You know, and then back to something you had originally said, Andy. I mean, after a while, are these clients you're going to want to keep, who keep balking at you know, paying
right.
you? I mean, seriously, do you have a good relationship with them? If you do, they're going to want to pay. If not, well, maybe it's time to fire them and then figure out afterwards how to get your payment.
And what Glenn said, too, is good because having that feeling of we're all in it together, mm-hmm. you know, puts more personality into, you know, you're not just hurting, you know, you're hurting everyone. You know, you have to do what you say you're going to do. So
yeah, and clients need to understand that you're not just looking for payment just because you want money in your bank. You're looking for payment because you need to fund the order. And you know, when it's a 1,000-piece order and it's costing, you know, $3,500, you're paying for that long before you know, you're paying your suppliers long before the client's paying you. So right. that's a lag time that you have to deal with. And you know, the more they know about the process, the more inclined they might be to pay up on time.
Glenn can start a side business, collections agent with a baseball bat on his business card.
There you go, Glenn. If you're still listening, you've got collections agency in your future. All right, well, now we have to take a break to hear from our sponsor, I Promote You. But when we come back, we'll hear about why more meetings and conventions are booking in hotels this year.
This portion of ASI Radio was sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
All right, we're back on ASI's Tuesday morning show. Feel free to give us a call at 215-953-4979 to discuss any topic you'd like or email us at radio@asicentral.com. Now, Joan, I understand that hotels are booking more meetings and conventions.
Yes.
What's going on there?
Yeah, good news. Americans are meeting again on the road. Hotels are reporting a rebound in business from group customers, a key segment that includes companies, associations, sports teams, religious groups, social organizations, and the military. The U.S. Travel Association forecasts a 7% increase in meeting and convention spending this year to $90.7 billion. And that's after a 15% decline last year. So hotels, convention bureaus responded with aggressive deals and packages, such as providing free coffee breaks or discounts on audiovisual equipment. So the groups are responding. And a June survey of members by the Meeting Professionals International said that meeting planners responded 61% that they are seeing more favorable business conditions. So this is great news for, you know, for everyone, really, and especially people, of course, in the hotel meeting planners and all that. So with even just small perks with the free coffee breaks, of course, what do they need? Things
coffee.
To put their coffee in.
They need to keep themselves awake.
Right. And they need coffee mugs or coffee cups, and they need pens and journals for all the planners. And
right.
This is great news.
Yeah, that is good news, because distributors certainly sell a lot to trade shows and meetings, you know, the meeting business. And it's an interesting sector, I think, because it kind of been hit sort of doubly over the last couple of years. The economy, obviously, number one, you know, as travel has decreased. But also technology has impacted the way, you know, companies meet face-to-face. They don't need to do it as much anymore. So that's some good news there. Thanks, Joan.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dave, well, one of the important things that distributors need to know how to do is to dig deeper into their current customers and get
yes.
more business out of those good current clients. So how can they do that?
Okay, well, Andy, a new study from Gallup Global Management shows it costs 5 times as much money to win over a new client compared to serving an existing client. So with that in mind, here are 5 tips on how to upsell more successfully. These come from Inc. Magazine. Number one, own the account. Talk to your clients often, understand their needs, make them a priority, and make sure you listen. Number two, sell services. Not just about selling products, of course, anymore. People need help more than things in many cases. You want to be a solutions provider. Number three, educate your clients. Use the good, better, best philosophy when presenting options. Give choices that make sense and explain them. Number four, stretch the timeline. And this means show your client you can help them now, but also in the long term, in the future as well. You want that long-term relationship-building aspect. And number five is follow through. You want to offer support, training, service calls, show you care. So there you have it. Own the account, sell services, educate clients, stretch the timeline, and follow through. 5 ways to upsell more successfully, Andy.
Let me give one more.
Go for it.
Present ideas.
Present ideas.
Give ideas.
That's a solutions idea, I guess.
Right, yeah. I mean, be the sort of consultant that your clients need. That's how you'll really expand the business, is to provide marketing ideas that help them increase their own business. That's really where I think the game is for distributors today.
Sure. You want to make your agency not just about products, but about
absolutely
options and solutions.
No doubt.
Agreed.
All right, Dan, I can't wait to hear about this, but bed bugs are huge news these days, right?
Oh, big time. You've got breakouts in New York City all over the place.
Yep.
There's a 240% rise in complaints to city officials. Wall Street Journal reported a 2,000% increase in overall complaints. And we're not just talking your average run-of-the-mill slumlord place. We're talking big companies, well-known places, places like Time Warner, Abercrombie & Fitch, AMC Theaters, even Victoria's Secret. They all have problems with bed bugs in New York City. That's right. Ew.
Ew is right.
So the question is, though, what do you do? Well, talking to people in the industry and in business who have dealt with it, the sentiment seems to be, tell the truth and then do something about it. Basically, lay it out. This is what a couple of places have done. They've closed shop for a weekend. They'll say up front, we're closing our offices on Friday. We're bringing in people and we're cleaning house. And it seems to work. Customers don't have, they don't hold a grudge if you deal with a problem head on. At least that seems to be the sentiment so far. I don't know. What about you guys? I mean, would you go into a place that you heard had a bed bug place but said up front that they had dealt with it and cleaned it up?
I'd rather they tell the truth and, you know, find out there for the fact, you know.
I would.
Yeah.
Bed bugs aren't holding any, carrying any diseases or anything. They're
a nuisance.
AMC, they're an awful nuisance.
Yeah, AMC Theater, for example, they said up front, they posted on a well-known blog in New York City, they said, we detected bed bugs on two of, I think, 4,000 seats, 4,700 right. seats. They got rid of the seats, and they cleaned house.
Yeah, and it was probably somebody who had them in their homes that had them on their clothes or something and sat down in the seats. You know, I think it's an interesting lesson, though, for almost any company that has a natural disaster strike or anything that strikes them that they couldn't really control. And the idea of being honest and upfront with your customers is vital.
What you don't want to have happen is later on people find out that you didn't report it up front. That's right. Where the PR nightmare really begins.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Brings a whole new definition to the word kinky, doesn't it?
Oh, now Victoria's Secret with the bed bugs. Interesting. All right, Dave.
You know what kills them?
Dave's getting married soon, we realize.
McCureCrim.
No, not McCureCrim.
What kills them, did Joe?
Hot temperatures. Hot temperatures.
Oh, yeah,
120 or
yeah, that's
above.
Right. That's right.
They can't live in that.
What do they do? Just turn the heat up? Or?
I think when you have to have, if you have them in your house, you have them, you know.
It's like fleas, your dog, your pet, you know, it brings. Yeah.
You have to wash everything. You got to scrub down everything. And I think that the exterminators who come put heaters in there and cook your rooms. Cook your rooms.
So yeah. Basically, wow. During the summer, you want to turn the heat up as high as you can, close all the windows.
Yes. Turn off your central air. Turn off your central air. So in my house, I don't think we'll ever have them because it's so hot.
All right, well, let's move away from the itchy segment of the show to marketing concerns. And Joe, I understand you have a study that looks at small business owners' marketing.
Right,
concerns.
There was this survey was done by USA Today, and it's the top small business owners' marketing concerns. Now, 27%, the number one answer was the results are hit or miss, but they're still paying for them. How could someone in this industry help a small business get over that, the hit or miss?
The hit or miss meaning,
in other words,
you can't measure it?
Yeah, you know. We don't want to do this. We don't like marketing because it's hit or miss. It's either going to hit or it's not, but we don't know how to track that.
Well, there's some good ROI that can be proven from promotional products. We certainly have a study online that shows the ROI of promotional products, but I think just overall the idea of promotional products is that it's a touch point, and it's something tangible that people get into their hands, and that's something that I think distributors can certainly stress.
And I think it's important to say this is a very personal form of advertising. You're actually giving someone your advertising. You're giving someone your marketing message. It's one-to-one advertising, mm-hmm. And it's something if it's a smartly used product and it's a creative product, it's something that someone's going to want to receive. You know, I always say you can't channel surf a promotion of products, and we don't watch commercials on our hair. So you get what else is on TV. We always have one show. It's like right now it's baseball season, so watch the Phillies, and do our commercials. We go to something else, then we go back to the Phillies. So we don't have to watch the commercials. So this is very personal advertising.
But when you go to a Phillies game and you get a product in your hand,
right. Yes,
then you're seeing that advertiser's logo.
We have lots of
for a long time.
The next biggest concern at 26% is what works for others won't always work for me. And I think that's true. So what a distributor needs to do is go into clients and show them a variety of different programs and campaigns that they've done for their clients and say, look, we don't have to do exactly this. These are all the things we can do for you.
Gotcha.
Okay. The next one is questionable.
What else we got?
Questionable effectiveness at 23%. So in other words, people are saying it's just marketing's not effective at all. But I think we know that's untrue because in a down economy, the companies that continue to market are the ones that are there when the market turns around.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that – I think people just say that as a response on a survey, but I'm not sure people do enough to actually track the success of their marketing, not just promotional products,
right.
But all marketing overall. They put stuff out there and don't necessarily put mechanisms in to gauge the effectiveness of it. So, of course, they're going to say, well, it wasn't effective because they don't really know whether it's mm-hmm. effective or not. So that's something that people need to realize.
And the last one at 11% is it's too expensive to take the risk. So, in other words, I'm not going to pay for the marketing because it's too risky. I don't think there's going to be a payoff. And I think their promotional products definitely are going to address that concern because you can get very inexpensive products that are, you know, valuable and have high perceived values and you can do a lot of good with them as opposed to the cost of newspaper,
right?
The cost of radio advertising and TV advertising.
Yeah,
so,
the cost effectiveness is something to be stressed for sure.
And that is also borne out in the on that survey we have online, mm-hmm. The Empire Survey.
Yeah, it's the Ad Specialty Impression Survey, which you can find at asicentral.com. All right, well, right now it is time for the word of the week within this ASI radio contest. Is there a sound? Oh! We've got a drum roll. Okay, the word of the week, as we started this show on, is vacation. because I just came back from vacation. Joe, you recently were on vacation. Dave, you're going
on vacation.
We know Dan's not going today or tomorrow, but maybe some other time. And Joan was away last week as well. So the word of the week is vacation. Stay tuned on September 14th when we will have call-ins and people can present the words of each week that started last week and leading up to September 14th, and we'll be giving away great prizes. The prize for this week will be an HP Mini notebook. As I said before, there's also a flip camcorder, a Canon digital camera, and a Roomba vacuum cleaner, which, as we learned in the studio, we weren't sure why it's called a Roomba, but maybe somebody out there does. So if you do know why it's called a Roomba, write us at radio@asicentral.com, and we're curious to hear. And make sure to tune in again on September 14th when we'll give away those prizes. All right, Dave, multi-generational households. What do people need to know about that sector?
Yes, well, the Pew Research Center has released data showing that 49 million Americans live in households with three or more generations, and that number is growing. So you have a bunch of different generations at home. That provides us with many unique marketing opportunities. For example, advertisers tend to market toys to children because they use the toys.
Sure.
They should instead be marketing those toys to grandparents, who now buy one out of every four toys, and I think more impressively, one out of every five video games. So marketers should be focusing on that area, as well as technology, travel, entertainment, the automotive industry, again, for these multi-generational campaigns. Now, as a distributor, you can use this information a couple ways. Number one, to educate your clients, but I think more importantly, number two, to promote your services as someone who gets these trends and can offer interesting products that cross generational groups. So remember, multi-generational households can equal great opportunities for marketing coming up.
I'd love to see the video games, the marketing campaigns for the video games that we've targeted to the grandparents.
Sure.
That would be
with cool t-shirts.
That would be very interesting.
Hey, Gramps, sure. Call of Duty.
Play your this new Mafia War game.
Mafia War.
Well, Nintendo actually did that. I mean, they realized that some of their products and some of their items have to be marketed toward the older generations, not just the, you know, the newer age stuff they have. There's word games, for example, that maybe older folks would be interested
right.
in, and not only buying things for their grandkids.
Gotcha.
So well, there you go. It's happening already.
It is, and we could. I'm sure we'll see more. Well, big part of marketing strategies these days is certainly social media. Now, Dan, how is social media helping the PR sector thrive?
Well, the PR sector is making a comeback. Last year, only 21% of PR firms surveyed by the Council of PR Firms reported growth. This year, it's basically around three quarters. 81% are expecting growth in the coming years. And many people attribute this to the growth of social media, things such as Facebook, Twitter, MySpace. Basically, each of those creates an avenue directly to your potential client. You can see who your targets right. are because of who they're following, and you can reach out to them in that way. And many people think that, hey, this is part of the reason. I mean, it's one thing to say that the economy is coming back as a whole, but it also correlates with this massive growth in social media.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that it is obvious that, you know, when you're doing PR, that, and you, if you have an outside PR company or you're doing your own, that they're kind of taking your social media strategy and running with it. You know, that's what they're really doing, in a sense, is being your voice to the public, and that's what that is. So, Joan, in that sense, mm-hmm. what kind of questions can people ask themselves to create this kind of social media PR strategy we're talking about?
Well, one of the number one questions is you want to ask yourself is, what do you want to achieve? So you have to begin with the end goal in mind. So some of the other questions, actually some stats to keep in mind, too, for this social media powerful PR tool is there are 500 million Facebook accounts, 75 million users are on Twitter, 4 out of every 10 Americans read blogs. So these are definitely some powerful statistics to prove that. Some other questions you might want to ask are, who is your audience and where are they online? You have to have a clear idea and understanding of your target audience. That's key for a successful marketing plan. Who are the influencers? These are specific people, groups, or institutions that reach your target audience. And what are they saying? Find out what your target audiences and their influences are saying about your industry. And finally, you want to find out what resources are you willing to invest? Obviously, we all have a limited amount of time and energy to invest in PR. So What's fast, cheap, and easy?
Fast, cheap, and easy. Oh, my. Okay.
Social media.
Joe's pointing at me.
Keep it going.
Well, you know, I think that one point you touched on there with the idea of knowing who your audience is really important for businesses, because I think that they end up probably, like you said, wasting time in a sense, mm-hmm. Trying to find their targets online and social media, but you know, figure out where they are and what media they're paying attention to, and then target that as specifically as you can. Mm-hmm. You know, don't try to do everything. You know, you can't be all everything to every type of customer you want. So target your audience as closely as you can, and then go to the social media outlets that they're on.
Exactly.
That's really the key. So you're not wasting time. All right. Well, we have just enough time for Joe's rant. So, Joe, what are you ranting about today?
I'm at war in my neighborhood, Andy.
Uh-oh.
War, I tell you. No, not with the township, although it would really fill me with great joy if they fixed my street. And I'm not battling with any neighbors as I live amongst some of the finest people in the world.
Wow, happy nope. Joe.
I'm at war with the squirrels. Every fall, they begin nesting in my shed. They found a way in 3 years ago, which I discovered and promptly
remedied.
It's
not even the fall yet.
Since then, they've found several new ways in, and once inside, they tear the place up. Patio furniture cushions are destroyed from gnawing away to gather bedding for their nest. They've chewed through several extension cords, a power sander, they've eaten the bottom of my lawnmower bag, and have relieved themselves on anything and everything inside. Each spring, the cleanup is more and more frustrating. But this year, they've started to feast on my tomatoes.
And there's more.
Mm. Oh, no.
So what's a homeowner to do? Well, I've decided to trap and release them elsewhere. So on Sunday, I got a trap and baited it with a half-eaten juicy tomato. I figured that they would like this veggie and would certainly want this one. I went golfing with my kids, and when I got home, I checked the trap. No squirrel. However, they'd been in the garden because I found a gnawed-up green tomato on the deck railing right near the trap.
They're all laughing at you.
That was not there before we left. So, as Joan says, they are now taunting me. And all I have to say is, it's on.
Joe, it might help if you stop covering everything in your house with chocolate syrup.
All right, well, Peter, unfortunately, we are out of time for today, but stay tuned next week when we'll continue our ASI radio contest, and of course, we'll hear about the latest episode of Joe versus the Squirrels. Thanks, and have a great day.